Welcome to this new episode of Supplycast, the podcast from the Healthcare Supply Association. Man, I've said that a lot of times now, that intro. I'm joined today by HCSA Chief Officer Keith Rowley, a man who caused a stir at the last HCSA conference, the winter conference, with an extraordinary outbreak of facial hair.
I did. I got into, yes, bit of Movember, and we raised over £1,000. I even got sent, they sent me a woolly hat. So I've now got a woolly Movember hat. Yeah.
Oh, that is magnificent.
Been keeping my ears warm. Doesn't cover the tash, though. That's a bit unfortunate.
What I like is you have decided to retain the facial hair. And that is often something that happens. Did you know that is often something that happens because people don't think about it until, you know, it's a bit like when you was at school and you get a new haircut and you're really nervous because you know you're going to come to school the next day and everyone, all your mates shout, haircut, haircut. so it's like, but you like it, but there's something, you know, been stopping you to do it for a while. And I felt that that might have been the case with you, Keith. Did you often think to yourself, maybe I should try some facial hair? Oh, God, yeah. People are going to go, oh, hey, Keith, what are you doing? But
I don't think I could have grown one when I was younger. So I gave it a go when I got to about 28, 29, and it just ended up with big gaps and patches in it, which is what I think put me off until recently.
Yeah. Until recently,
clearly, as I'm getting matured and aging quite nicely, it's grown up. But
as we've reached adulthood.
Reached adulthood. Yeah, I was too young for too many years. I wish that was true. Yeah. But no, my wife says she quite likes it, so I've kept it. I think she's trying to avoid any close contact with me whatsoever, which is probably understandable.
So what happens this Movember then? Do you have to grow a ludicrous moustache?
Don't set the bar higher.
Do you have to shave it off in like August and then start regrowing it?
It was bad enough as it was trying to go Mexican for that gala dinner. That was
good. If you didn't know about that, I can't remember who it was, but someone said it'd be quite funny if you turned it into a what would be called a Zapata moustache, like a Mexican revolutionary moustache. And someone but it started saying, oh, we'll donate money if
they ran a bit of a campaign, so there was additional donations committed on the basis of going that extra mile, and I think it increased my donation level by like double, so it was worth it in terms of raising money for mental health and men's mental health, which is ultimately what Movember's all about. And it is a bit of a thing close to my heart because I've had sort of family experience of that. Yeah, it's one of these things that's not talked about enough, but talking is part of that. So it was nice to kind of support it and promote it, but embarrassing to go Zabata with it.
Yeah. I remember looking for you. I was trying to sort of see quickly if you were going to do it. I knew you would do. Once the money was on the table and it was for charity, I knew you would do. I suppose it's worth noting at this stage that this year, our charity for 2024 will continue to be Young Lives versus Cancer. Yeah. Again, that is a charity that's close to the heart of HCSA. So you'll be seeing them at our various events, of which there are many to the course of the year. And
we've got so many events, and we were so proud of what people did in terms of supporting them over the winter conference, the annual conference back in November, and it's great to continue supporting a great cause. What they provide around homes for young people going through cancer and helping families deal with that process, which is incredibly tough. People in HCSA have had very personal experience of using that facility, but it's great to be supporting them and helping them raise some money for such a vital cause. So, and it's glad I'm really proud to have them through the course of this year at our three regional events in London, in the Midlands and the North, which we'll touch on in a bit. And then again, at our annual conference in Telford.
Yeah, the annual conference we are now referring to, obviously, rather than just winter conference, which we have historically done, because HCSA is now, you should be aware, or most of you be aware, is delivering the Excellence in Supply Awards this year. And they will act as kind of regional conference and events, effectively. Yeah. So we're calling the, what was the winter conference, the annual conference. On that issue of the EIS awards, we've just closed on last Friday, 1st of March. We closed the entries to the awards for London and South, and we've had lots of entries for that. Thank you for everyone that's contributed to that. So I think it's probably worth me noting that we have the awards deadline for the Midlands and East of England awards, which is coming up this month now. That's on the 22nd of March. So make sure that you get your entries. A lot of people, some people have already got put in their entries, which is great. So make sure you're getting your entries in there. The North, a little bit later on, but the North of England Awards, the deadline for that will be the 17th of May, 2024. So yeah, make sure you've got all them in. You've got those diaries, those dates in your diary so that you can
Well,
make
we'd
sure
all,
that you hit all the deadlines on them.
yeah. So there's the awards for the profession and the people in procurement, commercial, and supply chain. But there's also a number of supplier awards in that program, which we don't do at the annual conference. So there's an opportunity if you're aware of a really good piece of work where a supplier's really made a difference, added some real value, within your local setting. Then we'd really encourage you to maybe encourage them to put forward for an award as well, because there are a number of supplier-based awards in the regional program.
Just for a second, explain the rationale then behind HCSA choosing to take over delivering the EIS awards.
So the EIS program used to, well, started in the north of England, and it was Mick Gymer originally supported it, and HCSA got involved through Simon Walsh's tenure in HCSA. So we were really supportive of that when it first expanded. And then Jeff Roberts did a great job building that into the Midlands and set up a Midlands program for the EIS Awards program, linked to the regional networks that were existing across there to support supply chain and NHS England. Unfortunately, the group under Mick fell away, and that resulted in the collapse of the Northern Programme. And we picked up with Jeff Roberts last year about how we could take that programme into London and the South, which we did for the first time last year, and did it as a joint venture. And from there, we thought it would make sense for us to move our what was then our summer conference, annual summer conference program, into a regional program, and try and engage more people across the system in the regions, but also look to involve more less senior, more junior, lower ranked staff, and try and encourage them to attend. So that's the basis for it, and that linked to that intent, strategic intent of what HSA wants to do, which is represent the membership more and being more engaged with that membership across the entire profession. It seemed like a logical step for us, and it's an opportunity for us to recognise the contribution our suppliers, and some of them are our corporate partners, make through that regional programme. Hence, there's an opportunity through AIS to represent the supply side of the profession as well as the buy side, which we don't do at annual conference, and we don't plan to at this stage, but it felt like it makes sense to join up that partnership. Therefore, it made a lot of sense to us, both on adapting and moving on from where we were, moving away from the summer conference, bringing suppliers into the conversation more on the supply side. That seemed to be a good fit for us. So
You
we're really proud to take it on. Yeah, it's a really important part of our plan this year.
opened a little door for me there, so I'm going to walk through it. One of the things I wanted to touch on was about junior members of staff, and we've got a Future Leaders network at HCSA, one of our various networks, and I sit on that network in the background, sometimes in the foreground. And I just wanted to get your take on that, because I know from talking to members of the Future Leaders Network that one of the things that's very important is, because we want to get these people at that level into the events, into our extra events this year going forward, because we want them to watch webinars that we're putting on specifically for them, programs, etc. It's very important to have the managerial support. What can you tell us about that and how we'd like to ensure that happens?
So Getting them involved in HCSA events is good from our perspective. We think it gives us more diversity. It's more interesting for the people that engage in those events. So from our perspective, it's a really positive step. But actually, it's as much about the individuals themselves. I mean, these guys are going to be the future leaders of procurement, commercial, and supply chain in the future. And the more networking exposure and learning and development opportunities we can give them, the better. The challenge is they've got, like everybody in the system, they've got busy day jobs. And there's only so many of everybody around the system, but it does their active participation in HCSA, which we know they get a lot from. We've seen that through the graduate program. We've seen it through the Future Leaders Group that we've put together. And we've got some really passionate people in there in Sophie Lillam and Nalia, and I know you've done, and Rebecca Kelly, who've been trying to lead a charge with that group and trying to encourage it. But one of the barriers is the ability for managers to provide encouragement and support for those individuals to come out. And there's been a lot of conversation in that Future Leaders Group about the managerial barrier or the perceived managerial barrier. So really, it's a, certainly from my perspective, I'd put a really big call out to action to sort of any manager in the NHS, please try and support your teams and your future leaders to get involved in learning and development opportunities, get involved in the networks that help build their capabilities, confidence, and capacity to engage in the activities that HSA supports, but actually help them develop as individuals to become those future leaders and realize the potential that they can be. So please, yeah, support them as much as possible. I know there's a juggling act and we can't, not everybody can be supported to do everything all of the time because we've got a day job to do and we've got to keep procurement, supply chain, and commercial running within the NHS. But yeah, where you can, I'd really encourage people to support.
Yeah, and very quickly, I'd like to thank as well the managers already supporting the core group in that Future Leaders Network that we meet with regularly, which is, as you said, Sophie Linneman, Rebecca Kelly, Joel Rocker, and Nyla Draper. That's
They
great.
provide a lot of
Before,
support. They afford them a lot of time to participate in
they
terms of
really
women.
do, and
Very valuable.
whenever I see, for example, when I see Simon Clark.
Yeah.
At our events, and I always make sure that I thank him for lending this Sophie
Yeah, Lee
to her
Joseph and
things.
the
Lee
support he
Joseph,
provides, Joel, Emma James and the support she's providing Rebecca to participate. And Nadia was at LANC, so Sharon Robson was fantastic in providing support. But I think Nadia's more recently moved to
Morecambe
Morecambe.
Bay,
Yeah, she's getting the support from there. So
yeah,
they've
it's
been
great.
great.
Really, really great. So just we've already said what the deadlines are for the EIS awards. The actual event, London and South, is 18th of April. That's at the Holiday Inn London Regent's Park. The Midlands East England Conference and Awards is 9th of May. That's Staverton Park Hotel in Daventry. And the North Conference and Awards is the 4th of July, 2024. American Independence Day at the Queen's Hotel Leeds. Where better to spend Independence Day in the Queen's Hotel Leeds.
That wasn't planned in any way, shape, or form, was it? The Queen's Hotel celebrating independence. I'm not
Yeah,
quite
we'll have
sure they would
the
like
flags up and all that. While we're at it, might as well stick on events for now. Well, everyone's got their hopefully got their calendars out, so making little notes to make sure that they don't forget about it. We also have coming up the Women's Network Conference, second conference, first conference last year. Everyone will know
that.
by now, it was a
Huge
huge
success.
success. It
Yeah.
was a huge success. It was not just in terms of people who came, feedback was incredible, but just have been there on the day. It was really fantastic. The buzz and the enthusiasm for it. It was kind of like a bit of a unique event, but it was hugely successful. So that, of course, is coming back this year.
Well, it was amazing, wasn't it? And it led to the recognition through the President's Award at HSA. I mean, we were quite. President was really clear that the success of that event and what they saw and the engagement and participation and what the group had done through the course of the year. And I know they're a little nervous about making sure they can replicate that event, but they, from what I've seen of the speaker lineup and what they're looking at, it'll be as good, if not better.
That's 4th of September. That's the Holiday Inn again in Regent's Park, London, which is a really nice venue as well, actually. Nice snacks and coffee.
Always an important part of an event.
and also the annual conference, as it is now, and that will be the 13th to the 14th of November at the International Centre, Telford. So there's two things to say about this. First of all, keep your eyes out for what will be coming extremely soon, which is a buy one, get one half price early bird offer. So just make sure that you're keeping your eyes on the newsletter and our social platforms for notice of when that is out.
Yeah, there's a real opportunity to book tickets, and yeah, you get one and you buy a full price ticket and you get one half price. It is for the full 2 days and a gala dinner. We know gala dinner was really full last year, and tickets were at a premium to come by actually. So it's a great opportunity to book those tickets and get those booked in, and yeah, and maybe managers can show support for future leaders and give their half price
Yeah,
ticket
again,
to a
that's
future leader.
again, yeah, again, that
Well,
would
it's not open for a huge amount of time. I think we're
Oh.
running it to the end of March, at the moment is the plan, and they'll certainly be out early March. In the next few days or so, we'll be putting that out for people to capitalize on that.
I just what is it now? A couple of weeks ago, I went to the Telford Centre to have a little look round with a group of dignitaries, trustees and the whatnot. And it is extremely impressive. It is huge. It is huge. I mean, it's so big. It's so big.
It's a great
It's
opportunity for us to step up from Manchester. I mean, we've had two really good years at Manchester and really stepped up. We had 900 people on that first day last year, but that's kind of the limit of where we could go with Manchester. So there's a real opportunity for us to step up our conference, and Telford's the next logical step. It is bigger than Manchester. It allows us to cater for more people. It allows us to cater for more exhibitors, and there's a real interest from the supplier community to participate in that, which is great. Helps fund the event and is a big part of it. And it also allows us to do more in terms of the breakout rooms we can run from there, because it's such a big venue and it's purpose built. It's not always known as the most glamorous location. It wouldn't get a kind of city centre vibe, but this, from our look around it, hotels and accommodation seem a bit cheaper than you might get in Manchester. Parking's going to be included and free. It's actually got a huge car park, Telford Centre. So that's all going to be part of the deal and the package. So getting there shouldn't be as hard as people might think, hopefully. We'll always have challenges depending on the geography we put in. But yeah,
It's a great.
it's a nice place, actually.
It's a great little area. It's got lots of things like, when you're not in the conference, it's got lots of restaurants. It's got little microbrewery sort of places, if that's your sort of thing.
There was a pork
It's
pie shop down the road as well.
pork
That
pie
was
shop
always
down the
good.
road. It is the birthplace of Tapao lead singer Carole Decker,
Yeah, there's a fact.
which I absolutely love. And the darts legend Ted Hankey was from
Ted
Telford as
Hankey.
well, which I think is
Crikey.
like Ted the Count Hankey, who is nicknamed the Count purely because he quite liked watching horror films.
I hope that's not no dark past on Dracula and Telford. That would be more over Whitby way, wouldn't
So yeah, Telford. I mean, it's very self-contained, which is great. The actual area when you're out, when you're out there. But yeah, in the actual conference center, one of the things that I think people, one of the many things that people will like about Telford once they get there and when the conference is underway, is that it also gives you a lot more room for networking areas where people can sit down.
Yeah.
Because in Manchester, there was a because we had so many people that wanted to come, it reduced that area of networking, which we know is hugely important to people who come. So places where you can sit down and talk to people in little, coffee areas, you can sit and talk. And there's so much room. I mean, it's these the rooms are like they're like aircraft hangars. I mean, I went to a few years back. I went to the Kennedy Space Center, NASA Kennedy Space Center, and because the obviously the shuttle program is no longer active now. It's empty. So when I went, they took you into the actual place where you used to be off. You used to be not didn't usually be able to go to because it was top secret and all that kind of thing. So they took us into the main hangar where they bring in like the shuttle and they'd work in it and put it together. If you've seen the film Armageddon with Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck, they actually filmed inside the actual hangar when they're building the shuttle and the various bits and bobs for their mission to save the world. And I went in there, and it's like the biggest hang. It's the extraordinary, like the biggest thing you've ever seen. Hangout warehouse, what huge. And Telford actually reminded me of that. It's so big. There's so much
So, are we
room.
planning to build a spaceship then
No, but you
this year?
could.
Is that
That's what
the
I'm
plan?
saying.
Is that
That's
the
what I'm
plan?
saying.
It is a bigger venue and it is better and it takes that step up and it allows us to cater for more people in that venue. It also allows us to expand Gala Dinner because that was one of the big constraints we had in Manchester. There were just so few venues where we could take more than the capacity we had last year, which was about 500, 600. And we were cramming them in last year on the tables down the side as well. So in Telford, we can just expand that much bigger and really allow people to come and celebrate and recognise what they do through the awards programme and really create that buzz. So I'm really excited about Telford. I think it's really got some potential for us to take that additional step, move a bit further south, because we've certainly for the last 4 or 5 years we've been up in the north, haven't we? Manchester before last couple of years, Harrogate before that, and then before that we were back in Manchester again. So yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be exciting.
It looks like a perfect
Well,
venue to
the
me.
shops are countryside around. I mean, if you fancy staying over and making a weekend of it after the conference, the shops are countryside, beautiful. I mean, Shrewsbury's down the road. You're not far from the Welsh borders. You can head over to Wales and Snowdon and the rest of it. So, you know, there's an opportunity to kind of take conference and maybe take a bit of a break and refresh as well.
You sound like a bit of a travelogue now, don't we? But I did actually, in our WhatsApp group, I found a load of 1980s travelogue videos of Telford. Back in the days when people used to, they used to do little videos to say, come and visit this small village in your country, instead of going abroad sort of thing. And they're quite amusing, but they're worth catching on YouTube because it's funny to see how they used to be marketed, English villages, to spend your summer holidays.
Spanish summer holiday. Mind you make the buyer in me is now thinking about how we could go to the Telford Tourism Board and have a bit of a conversation about a kickback for the amount of business we might
Yeah,
be bringing
exactly. We've already mentioned Carol Decker and Ted
over.
Anke.
It's a
God,
power.
nothing. I mean, very obviously packed, loads of events and what have you. What I wanted to just move on to here a little bit is there's obviously a lot. This is always a community and industry that's always changing, and there's always an element of flux about it. But obviously, recently we've had things like the Procurement Act, CCF. And there's a lot going on. There seems to be a spotlight, the spotlight that kind of started during COVID on the procurement community, has continued. People are taking an added interest in it. We saw the Public Account Committee oral evidence hearing recently, which had Andrew New in it, Jackie Rock. A lot is going on, and also HSA is going to be supporting the messaging around that and getting the messaging out to members. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about how that's going to work.
Yeah, so obviously there is a lot happening around the system. You know, it's always a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Getting the visibility of commercial procurement raised up, the profile is fantastic, and it's great to see Jackie and the strategic framework trying to drive that importance up. And things like the Public Accounts Committee, you know, ask some difficult questions, but it also raises the profile of the role that we perform, the vital role NHS procurement supply chain, and as NHSE will call it now, the commercial team that makes us all up. So that's positive. It does come with some more scrutiny and more transparency and more challenge, and that creates questions for us. But that's really good. So we're really pleased as HSA to be supporting raising insight into that. So we're going to be running a series of podcasts, which you're avidly planning and putting together, Bruce, with us, with various colleagues to help give more insight into that. I think the next one we've got planned is Lois Shield and Fiona Hilton coming in to give an update, building on Jackie's more recent podcast. And then we've got about 10 or 11 planned out over the coming months to help people get more insight into the four themes behind that programme and the 26 interventions and help bring it a bit more to life, help people understand what it means to them on the ground and how it's all coming to effect.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd add to that is that also another supply cast that is coming up shortly as well, is with Andrew New himself, where we're just going to catch up with him about how the public's account, how he felt the Public Accounts Committee went, what his preparation for that was. If you haven't seen that, If you go to our social feed or in the news section on the HSA website, it will direct you, if you go down the list of news stories, to being able to rewatch the video or read the transcript. It was really quite something. So we wanted to follow up on that.
Yeah, and he supply chain are doing a bit of work on one of the interventions as well to encourage adoption of inventory management systems across the patch, and they've secured investment from Treasury and Department of Health and NHS England supported them to get that funding to support a number of trusts to go through that. So there'll be a podcast on that. I think Jill Fox and Sarah Ford are going to come in May, June time and give us an update on the program they're doing and the ways forward with that and what people can learn. It's great to see that a lot of people are called for the reinvigoration of what was the Scan for Safety program, which seemed to sort of fade away after the original DHSC program that was really successful. But and many people, including myself, are really sad to see that go. So it's good to see that being re-energized a bit under that program and supply chain getting behind that in support of what is a strategic direction within the strategic framework.
I just wanted to direct, while I'm thinking about it, people to the HSA website to make sure that all your details are up to date on there. So if you obviously if you change where you work, or if an email has changed for some reason, or whatever, just make sure that's up to date to make sure you're getting updates from us, and all that stuff, and that you're going to be able to log in okay to all those benefits you get by logging in as a member. You know, the LND stuff, the members only content, galleries, all sorts of stuff that's on there. That for you to just make sure, just when you get the opportunity, to keep up to
Also,
date.
so people can have their voice. I mean, we recently ran a survey on the strategic framework to get input so that we could represent that voice of the profession. And if the contact details aren't up to date and we don't know, we're not sending them to the right email addresses and getting in touch with the right people with the right comms, then it is really difficult to get those inputs from the whole system so that we can represent your view as part of that professional body. So we'd really encourage you to get those details updated and help us better engage with you and get your feedback so that we can represent you.
Yep, excellent. I mean, just talking through everything we've got this year, it's just so busy, isn't it? But it's where we want to be, and it's where we're heading, it's where we're going. It's getting bigger and more involved, more connected to membership, to make sure that we're serving exactly what is required by the
Yeah.
people we're serving.
We had over 4,000 members now, Bruce. We was about 2.5, 3 years ago. We had about 2,500, and I'm just really proud of people trying to get involved with the profession, hearing about what we're doing, engage with us through our activity and events. I think we've doubled the scale of the program we're going to be running for events and programs this year. Obviously, as you mentioned earlier, there'll be the three regional conferences. There's the event in Telford, which is our annual conference and has run for quite a number of years, but we also ran and the Women's Network event, but we also ran an event with the HFMA recently, which was well attended in London in
Current
January.
forming in January, yeah.
And the success of that is making us look towards running that again with them next year, and actually getting sort of finance and procurement commercial in the room together was really special, and started a constructive dialogue about building that relationship and what are the challenges and the opportunities in that aligned to various initiatives going on in the system. So I'm really proud to see HSA growing and expanding, but it's only as good as its members and the contribution they make to it and the engagement they participate in.
Excellent. Well, I think we've managed to cover it all. What we
We've
wanted to do in the
in 20, 30 minutes,
update.
we've done incredibly well to cover all that ground, given what's going
PDPs,
on. And that we haven't even touched on the L&D program, two PDPs, spaces for
yeah. Oh, there are.
in April, October.
I think there's. Well, I mean, there's. There was. There is currently a couple of places left at April PDP.
April. There's a few more in October. I think. I
There's a
think.
few more in October, so if you can't get in on April, make sure you get in on October. The reason why we run both of those is to make sure that everyone that wants to get on them can get on them,
Yeah,
because we're
we've got a whole L&D program. Our course program is starting to come up onto the website for next year, so you can start to book ahead of that. We're going to be running a series of training and L&D events on the PSR regulation, the provider selection regime, and on the PCR, the procurement contract regulations that come in from November. So supporting the work and the additional training layers that are coming from Cabinet Office and through NHS ECCF on that, but we'll be providing some additional support and training on those two things over the coming months as well. So look out for those.
Yeah, keep checking the courses page on the HCSA website because new courses are being added on there regularly. So that's where you want to make sure that you're going in, make sure you're logged in, and make sure you're checking the courses to see new courses being added. I think we're done, aren't we? I think we've managed to tick everything off the list.
Absolutely. We've got everything done. That's good.
We try and do these as close to the beginning of the year as possible to think, to look at the year ahead. But it's just been so crazy. It's just been, I mean, talk about hitting the floor running. We've just been straight into everything from the word go. We haven't been able to catch up from now. But it's really good to get through all that before we kick off our regional events next month. So yeah, I think the timing's been good on that. So thanks for finding the time to do that again, Keith.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Bruce. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And yeah, I know the system's really busy, and there's a lot as we come into March. It's going to get busier. It always does. But it's great to come in and give an update on what we're doing, and yeah, just encourage more people to get more involved and support HCSA. Please do.
Brilliant. And I hope that you can join me in the next episode of Supply Cast. Bye.